here this Lord's Day evening. We're going to begin by singing hymn number 163, Luke Ye Saints, the sight is glorious, see the man of sorrows now. 163, let's all stand together and praise the Lord. I invite you please to bow with me in a word of prayer that we might seek the Lord for our praise service tonight, that every heart would be prepared and ready to receive the word of God and also to rejoice in his presence. Please, let's pray. Loving Father, we think of the words of this hymn and they are so full of scripture as we've been reading this morning in our service that we come to crown the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know that for every one born again of the Spirit of God, everyone saved by grace, we want to make him the Lord of our lives. Dear God, we thank thee for our service tonight and for the privilege of being here, the place of prayer, the place of song, the place where the Word of God is honored. Dear Father, make it a very special night for each one of us. Do not let anyone come into this service or watching over the internet and yet go away unmoved by the Spirit of God. Lord, hear us tonight. Remember those who would love to be with us, but because of their sickness, their age, they cannot be here. Lord, support them, strengthen, and bless them where they are. Encourage those who are going through some very difficult times right now. We're thankful for Peter Lanting with us tonight. And Lord, we pray for him. We pray for his health needs. We ask, Lord, that you would draw very near and touch his body at this time. We know that there are others, Lord, who have very difficult family problems, others who have stresses of unsaved loved ones. And Lord, all these matters we humbly just bring before the throne of grace tonight. And how thankful we are we can come and we are welcome in thy holy presence because we come through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Father, be with the boys and girls tonight as they sing, as they participate in this worship time. Bless every choir member. We pray as Dr. Slade will come to lead the choirs tonight, she will know help from heaven, and that this whole evening would be a time of thanksgiving and worship as we come to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is alive and alive forevermore. And Lord, this fills our hearts with thanksgiving, because we know that because he lives, we shall live also. So be with us now, Father, tonight, and bless us for Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. It is good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. We are very happy that you're come to be with us. We have some visitors here, and you may be viewing our service tonight over the internet, and we're very happy to welcome you here, and we trust that the Lord would bless you. You'll be able to send us an email of your visit with us tonight in the service. Again, we've already mentioned Peter, and we're very happy, my friend, to have you tonight in a service with us, and we trust you'll enjoy yourself, and we're praying for you very much. Please remember some of the announcements for the incoming week that are important, and right after our meeting tonight, we'll be going downstairs for a time of fellowship and some refreshment, and I do hope you'll plan to stay with us. Everyone is invited, and it's always a good time to, well, it's always good to eat and to have some refreshment, but it's even more special to have time of fellowship together with other friends and those who are believers in Christ. Thank you for your prayers for me over this past week. We had a good and profitable time down at Foundations Bible College. I arrived down there on Tuesday, and we're meetings really right through the whole week, and I was speaking Wednesday and Thursday, and it was good to meet other believers and other pastors who are serving the Lord, and do keep that ministry, please, in your prayer, and I bring you greetings from the whole faculty and all the people, and certainly from Dr. Spence as well. Could I ask you also to remember in prayer Reverend James McClelland over in Northern Ireland? He is Dr. McClelland's brother, and he is not at all well at this time. And please pray and keep him before the Lord. This coming Wednesday is a special night for us as we meet for our annual general meeting. It will be on Wednesday evening when we hear some of the good reports of how God has blessed us. And I invite you to come along. There will be refreshment also after Wednesday evening. We were thinking about having our deacon's election then, but we've moved it ahead to May the 27th. And what we want to do is that after the meeting on Wednesday evening, the elders will take a little time to meet afterward, and that we'll be meeting with a couple of the candidates and nominees for the upcoming election. Baptismal service has been planned in the springtime. If God has been speaking to your heart, don't delay. We encourage you to put your name on that list and speak to me if you feel God is leading you and following to be obedient unto him. We mentioned this morning about our brother Femi, and welcome you and also Azarina and Aisha with us tonight. We're happy to have you folks here in our service. We trust the Lord would bless you in your short stay here, and a word of congratulations as Azarina and Femi were engaged this past week, and so we are thankful for that, and we pray that God would bless them and direct them in the future. I had several greetings today, and I mentioned to you from our Fredericton congregation and also Jamaica. Let's not forget to remember these places in our prayers, that God would bless them abundantly. It's sometimes in the busyness of our own activity, we can forget what the Lord is doing in other places. Let's remember our brother Milos, sister Martina in the Czech Republic. Hold them up before the Lord as they continue in their service. Remember Dave DeCanio. He is still in Northern Ireland, and he is doing deputation meetings before he plans to go back to Liberia. It seems that the door is opening again, and Joanne Greer is planning to return back there, as well as our brother Dave DeCanio. And so let's pray for them, that God would watch over them, protect them, and help them to carry on in the service and work that they are to do. We mentioned about our book room, bookstore, that we are moving all the material that we have in there, selling it off. And so if you would like to go, everything in there is at a 50% discount. And so you might want to look in there even after the service tonight or on Wednesday evening. It'll be open before the service and after as well, if you like to look through there. Those are all the announcements we have at this time. We're going to take up the offering for the Lord's work.
While the offering is received tonight, we're singing 162, hymn 162, Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son. Just remain seated while the offering is received. Thine Let's all stand together and sing that final verse and really lift it up on verse 3. Seated. I'm going to invite Miss Slade now to come and lead the choir, young people, the chorale, as they present their Easter praise message.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever."
Thank you.
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word.
Thank you.
But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The trumpet shall.
We thank the Lord for the privilege of being able to be a part of the praises of the Lord. It is a joy, it is a blessing, and yet without having someone who is capable to coordinate all of these things together, well, it would be very difficult to make it all come to pass. Tonight is one of those happy and sad occasions, because a few months ago, when our sister Dr. Slade mentioned to me that she was thinking of hanging up the equipment as far as that goes for operating within the choir and leading the choirs, well, it was sad news. Our dear sister has served faithfully for many, many years in this ministry, and we wanted not to let this evening go past without acknowledging the debt of gratitude that we have toward her. We are of mixed opinion on this because we did not want her to think in any way that we were rushing her out by making a presentation directly following the Easter program of praise, but we thought it was appropriate and a good time to give honor where honor is due. I've asked Dr. McClellan to come first of all and just say a few words about Dr. Slade, and then we have some special presentations for her.
Tonight I've been asked to say a few words about our choir director, Dr. Ruth Slade, and I know that there is a notable birthday coming up, and I understand that Ruth has said to some people that this will be her last regular praise service, and we cannot let this occasion pass without some words of appreciation. My wife and I first met Ruth in 1963, and that's hard to remember. That's 52 years ago. 52 years ago, we met her at our father's church, Jarvis Street Baptist, and we were immediately impressed by her energetic dedication to the work of the Lord. And there are some things that stand out in Ruth's life. First of all, undoubtedly, her major love is work among the children. And she has been the Sunday school teacher and the day school teacher for most of her life. And her love of children is legendary, as is her God-given gift and ability to teach. Her second great love, as you can gather tonight, is music. We saw her hard at work in Jarvis Street way back at that time, and we have witnessed her work here with our choir, our children's chorale, and the Whitfield student choirs. And any time you meet Ruth, more than likely she'll be quietly singing or humming some hymn or anthem. And I tease her about it, but she says that she's not even aware of doing it. But it's nice to have somebody who is happily singing, and it makes a pleasant change from those who seem to have lost their song of the Lord. Another feature of Ruth's life is her patience. And patience, you know, is a virtue. Possess it if you can. It's seldom found in women, but never in a man. And she has tremendous patience in trying to coax good music out of recalcitrant singers, whether they're young singers or older singers. And the results always seem to be pleasing and a blessing. And so again tonight we rejoice in the program that she's presented. And I certainly a couple of times was moved to tears when they sang about the worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing about Ruth is her sense of humor. It is a blessing, and she can always see the funny side of life, even in the most trying of circumstances. And you get her talking about her experiences in Sunday school and in children's work, and she could fill a volume with stories. In fact, I've told her to get them down and preserve them for posterity, because they make very good reading or hearing. However, one of the most outstanding virtues is her dedication and energy. Ruth will not mind me saying this, but she and I are of a similar age, and she leaves me in the dust as far as energy goes, because there comes a time when the body cries out, enough, and mine has been crying out that this last little while, enough, but Ruth reminds me of the Energizer Bunny, because she just keeps going and going and seemingly to find an unerring source of energy to serve the Lord. It has been a delight to work with Ruth down through these many, many years, and we appreciate the good job that she has done. And we thank her tonight for the tremendous encouragement she has been in the work of God. And I personally and others hope that this will not be the last time that she is seen directing and conducting the choir.
We appreciate those good words Dr. McClellan has spoken tonight, and we did not again want to let this occasion pass without giving a presentation to our sister. So we want to present this plaque of the years of very, very committed service to this congregation, but farther to the body of Christ, to the extension of the Lord's kingdom, and to bring glory and honor to his name. That's what this is all about. And I think it's good to recognize, to thank God for the way in which he has led his servants. Presented to Dr. Ruth Slade on the retirement from serving as choir director, the session board and congregation of Toronto Free Presbyterian Church express deep gratitude and appreciation for over 35 years of faithful service in directing the adult, youth, and children's choirs. We give thanks to God always for you, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, April 2015. So Ruth, we want to present that to you. We also have a little memento for you to remember and to make use of in appreciation, and it's just a token. It could never repay the debt that we owe, so please accept this. And we do hope also that you will be able to come downstairs after the fellowship tonight, because we have a cake that we want to cut, and I don't know if it says the age on the cake or not. I'm not going into that, but we will be singing Happy Birthday, and just to make that presentation. So the Lord bless you.
Thank you very much. You know, I have retired from several things. Been doing it for about the last 10 years from this Sunday school and school. Dr. McClellan said to me, how many more retirements do I have to go to for you? So here he is with another one tonight. I want to thank you very much for your kind words and for these lovely gifts, which I certainly will treasure. I was thinking not so long ago, it is 36 years ago when we moved into the Warden Avenue Church, that we started out with our choir and our chorale. And we have some people that are still in the choir after all those years. I just was sort of adding up the other day. Joanne was in the first chorale. Way back 36, she doesn't look 36, but 36 years ago, she was in that first chorale. And then our choir, which was then led by Mr. Bill Marshall, we had George and Sharon, Heather, Jean, all of these young folks were there in those early days. And it's wonderful that they have been able to manage to endure. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. And we're so happy that they have stuck. And then many have been here for many years. I couldn't attempt to add up the years and the time that they have spent in the choir. And it's with a word of gratitude to every choir member, and some who are not singing right at this moment even, but have been in our choirs at some point, just to thank them for their loyalty and their hard work, the hours of practicing. It's a lot of work goes into it, but it is a great joy because it is for the Lord that we do it. And always our motto was to sing forth the honor of his name and make his praise glorious. That is, was the aim of our choir, and it should ever be the aim that we have, to serve him and to bring honor to his name. To say that it has been a great joy to me is to put it very mildly. It is a great joy to serve the Lord in any capacity that he calls us to, but especially two things that we love to do, like making music for him and singing and making his praise glorious. A little reference has been made to age. I had said to Dr. Saunders, when it comes to the big 8-0, not children, that's what it is, a lot of them have been asking, how old are you? And, you know, trying to figure it out. It is 8-0. And when I turned up that April calendar and looked at the 24th, I thought, yes, it is 8-0. And at that point, I think it's time to hand over the baton to others to carry on. And what a joy it is in the school, Sunday school, to see God's work going on. I must just tell you a couple of little things about the children trying to figure out how old I was through the years. One day I was reading with one of our young boys, and he was reading about John Bunyan in the Bedford jail. And he stopped and looked at me, and he said, this was in 1400 and something. He stopped and he said, were you here then? To which I said, no, I missed that. Oh, he says, that's right, you're from the 1700s. I know. A little later, another one said to me, Miss Slade, I wouldn't want to embarrass you, and I would never be rude to you, but are you in your 40s? So I said, well, you know, that's something I don't talk about a lot. And he accepted that as an answer. And there have been other funny little occasions, too. There was one boy, when we were just starting the school, who said to his mother, do you think Miss Slade will retire when she turns 50? I think he was hoping that she would. And then the final one, when I turned 70, I was still in the school and active there, and we were having a party and a celebration, and they were all wondering what the age was. They weren't asking me, but they were buzzing around. And all of a sudden, a little group arrived at my door and said, you're not 70. You can't be 70. You don't look 70. I said, who in the world would have told you that? They said, oh, we asked Andrew, your great nephew, and he told us how old you were. So when I caught up with him, he was in about grade 4, I said, why are you telling everybody how old I am? He said, well, they were just bugging me, and they really wanted to know. So I told them. Anyway, when it comes to this point, I just am so thankful to have had health and strength to be able to carry on. And we look forward to carrying on in other capacities as well. But thank you so much for your support. I must also say a word of appreciation to our accompanists who have helped through all the years. We've had different pianists, but we've had only one organist, always, always there. And I just want to express publicly my appreciation to Mrs. McClellan for the support and the help of that organ and that organist who's right there with the notes to help us. It has been wonderful working with you. And for all who've had a part, our instrumentalists and all, I thank you very much. And thank you very much for these things and your good wishes.
I just want you to understand that when I said we were of a similar age, I am not 8-0. Yes. Not yet. But we're getting there. And this week, this Easter week, we have been looking back, remembering the events in Jerusalem some 1,986 years ago. And tonight, we have been reminded by the choir of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And that piece particularly that touches my heart, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Then they went on to remind us too that we do not serve a dead Savior, but one who is alive, the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead in the glorious resurrection. And then the praise tonight concluded with the victorious piece, the trumpet shall sound. Now this last piece is not looking back. The first piece was looking back, the resurrection looking back, but this piece is not looking back, but rather it is looking forward to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come back and the trumpet shall sound to announce his coming. And so just for a few minutes I want to think about that trumpet. It's first of all the herald of the coming of the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is coming back, and this is the trumpet that's mentioned that will herald that return. Now, there are many trumpets mentioned in the Bible in different places, earthly ones like the shofar or the ram's horn or the silver trumpets of Numbers chapter 10. And these trumpets were all used in an earthly sense to summon the people to special occasions and to direct the army, to protect the workers, as in the case in Nehemiah's day, to crown the king, as in the case of Solomon, and to praise the Lord. But this trumpet that the choir have been singing about is not an earthly trumpet. It is a heavenly trumpet, and it is the most powerful trumpet ever heard. It comes from heaven, not from earth. It is called the last trumpet, so there are no more trumpets after the last one. It's also the loudest one because over in the book of Exodus, you read there of the children of Israel at Mount Sinai receiving the law, and it says there that the trumpet from heaven was exceedingly loud. And so this trumpet that the Bible is speaking about, that we read about, is an exceedingly loud trumpet indeed. And it is, of course, taken from the portion that was read there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 52, where it says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now, Jesus Christ is coming back again. The Bible tells that all over the place, and we're told that he is coming back again to this world. But some people say, well, 2,000 years have elapsed since the time that he died and was resurrected. Why the delay? And as Peter poses the question of some, they cry, "Where is the promise of his coming?" 2,000 years have passed. But Peter also tells us in his epistle that with the Lord, that one day is as 1,000 years. And there's 2,000 years almost since the resurrection of the Lord. And that means that in God's eyes, it's only 2 days. It's only a short time. And my friend, that time is rapidly coming when the Lord shall come back, and that promise will be fulfilled. You see, God already has established the exact date and the exact moment in his plan. And it says in Hebrews, "Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and shall not tarry." And so that trumpet that we read about in Corinthians, it heralds the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a well-attested fact, and the one who is coming back, it is the same Jesus. You see, in Acts chapter 1, after he ascended to heaven, the angel said to the disciples, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go." So the Lord went up. It was the same Jesus. He did not send a delegate. He did not send an angel. He did not send an archangel. He himself will suddenly and bodily come back again to this world. Then in 1 Thessalonians, Paul tells us that it is the Lord himself who shall come back. Again, no delegation. He is, as he tells us, the Lord of all. He is the Lord of creation, the Lord of nature, the Lord of salvation. And I wonder, is he the Lord of our lives? He should be the Savior of our souls and the Lord of our lives. So it is this same Jesus, and it is the Lord himself. And then also the chief shepherd, because Peter tells us, well, there are many pastors, but there's only one chief shepherd. And it tells us that he gave his life for the sheep. But how can a dead shepherd look after sheep? And the fact is, of course, that he's not dead. He's alive forevermore, and he dwells in the right hand of God in the power of an endless life. And that shepherd, the living shepherd, the Lord Jesus, leads his sheep, leads us through danger, leads us through sickness, leads us through death to the eternal sheepfold in heaven. And we must follow him, because he is the only one who knows the way to heaven, because he is the way. He told us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then he's referred also as the great God in Titus 2 and 13. It tells us there, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So those who deny the Lord, they will tremble when that trumpet sounds, because they're coming face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. I was really shocked yesterday when one of my sons showed me a thing that came from the television, and it was a thing by Ron Reagan, who is the son of the famous President Reagan of the United States. And this fellow, Ronald Reagan, I guess he'd be in his 50s or early 60s, and he was doing an advertisement for the Atheistic Society. And he's calling upon people to have separation of church and state, and he's calling upon people to get rid of religion and to become atheists. And he finishes off with this statement, I am a life-born atheist, and I am not afraid to burn in hell. But Ron Reagan is going to get a shock on the day when that trumpet sounds, because he'll be called into the presence of God, and it is not just a good man or a prophet, it is the Lord God, the great God, and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And then we're told that it's not just the same Jesus, the Lord himself, the chief shepherd, the great God, but also the righteous judge, because Paul to Timothy says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We read in the Bible of the unjust judge, but God is the God of justice and of righteousness. When that trumpet sounds, he will judge the world in sin, and he will judge believers in righteousness, and we're told that he will give crowns unto them that followed him. So when that trumpet sounds, and all its terror and all its majesty, Jesus Christ is back. But that trumpet also is the signal for the resurrection, because we read there that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So when that trumpet sounds, it's a signal from heaven that the resurrection has arrived. Now that expression, in a moment, the word moment there is atomos, which is the word that we get atom from. An atom is the smallest indivisible piece of matter, and we're told that there's nothing smaller apart than the constituent parts of the atom. The atom is very small. And so it's like an atom, it's like the twinkling of an eye. In a split second, there'll be the sound of the trumpet and the appearance of a Lord, and the dead will begin to rise in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the big question is, after that trumpet sounds, what then? Because we read in John chapter 5 the words of the Lord Jesus. And he says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So when the dead are raised on the resurrection morning. Some go one way to heaven, some go the other way to a Christ rejecter's hell. Now the main question is, where are we going? Are you going to the resurrection of life, or are you going to the resurrection of damnation? A few years ago, I stood in the border between British Columbia and Alberta in the Rocky Mountains at a place called the Great Divide. Now you go to the Great Divide and don't be expecting something at the Grand Canyon. All you'll see is a river not much wider than the center aisle of our church here, and the water maybe 6 inches deep. And the water going down, the reason why they call it the Great Divide is because the water going down on the left side turns and goes to the Pacific Ocean. And the water on the right side goes across the prairies into Hudson Bay and eventually into Atlantic Ocean. And that little river there, so seemingly insignificant, it is the dividing place between those the water that will go to the Pacific or the Atlantic. And I looked at it and stood there, and I noticed something interesting. And that was, just you imagine a letter Y. Y with the two things. So you got the river coming down and dividing into two. And right in the middle of the division was a big stone. And I noticed that the water that went to the left of the stone was directed finally to the Pacific Ocean. And the water that went to the right of the stone, it went across the prairies and so on to the Atlantic Ocean. Depending on relationship to that stone was where that water would go. And my friend, what a picture you have of the resurrection. Because the rock there is pictured is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what our ultimate destination will be determined by our relationship to Him. If we're with Him, He will lead us directly at the end of life to heaven to be with Him forevermore. But if we're not, then we go the other way, and we go down to the caverns of the dam from which there is never any release. And so tonight, let us ask ourselves, where will I be when that trumpet sounds and the dead come forth from the graves? Will I be raised to everlasting life in Christ, or raised to everlasting death away from God for all eternity? So our encouragement to you is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust Him with all your heart as the chief shepherd, and He will guide you unerringly to that place in heaven He has cut for His people. But if you reject Him, you will join the ungodly. And the whole time the Lord Jesus Christ is stretching out His nail-pierced hands, and He's saying, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so make a choice. You've got a choice to make. And that choice is with Christ forever or without Him forever in the flames of a Christ rejecter's hell. And so tonight we are closer to the second coming of the Lord Jesus than at any other time. You look at the history of this present world and you see the multiplication of violence and wickedness. It's on a level I don't think ever seen before. And we're ripening for the judgment of God. It'll not be long until I believe the Lord God in heaven will give the signal. The gates of heaven will lift up again. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. And the King of glory, not this time going into heaven, but coming out on a second return. My friend, I pray that when He comes, that He'll come for you and take you to be with Him. He holds out His arms of love, and He says, "Come unto you. Come unto Me, all ye at labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Make sure tonight that it's well with your soul, because the most valuable possession you have, doesn't matter whether you have houses, cars, or whatever, the most valuable possession you have is your eternal soul. Make sure that that soul is committed to Christ. And thank God that we can say, as we were reading earlier, we can pose the question, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because the last great enemy is defeated by the Lord. And Paul says, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Last word, my friend, where will you be in eternity? We always say in the hymn, where will you spend eternity? But eternity is never spent. It goes on forever and forever and forever. Without God and without Christ, my friend, it would be absolute disaster. Tonight, respond to him. He is the fairest of 10,000 to the souls of his people. And he is the one who is worthy. Worthy is the lamb that was slain. And my friend, I'll tell you that you will rejoice in him. I have been on the road for a long time as a believer and as a preacher, and I have never, ever in my experience met a person who is a committed Christian who said, I wish I had not become a Christian. I've met people in other situations that I wish I had never done that. I wish I had never made this decision. But I have never yet met a Christian who said that I wish I had never come to Christ, because he gives you peace, he gives you happiness, he gives you joy, and he gives you an eternal hope in heaven. I trust that when we all meet at the end of this present world, after the trump has sounded, that nobody will be missing here on that day. There's a hymn that says, I dreamt, I searched heaven for you. What a sad thing it would be if we were to search heaven and find that you were not there because you rejected the Lord Jesus. May the Lord speak to every heart. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee tonight for this night of praise, and truly we have much to praise thee for, because thou art a great and a loving God. And we thank thee, our Father, for the joy and the peace that thou dost give to those that trust in thee. And so tonight our praise is not stinted, it is not perfunctory. O God, our praise is genuine, because, Lord, we love thee. We love thee because thou hast first loved us. And Father, we pray that should there be a soul here tonight that knows not the Lord, that even this night they would call upon thy name, because thou hast said so clearly, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hear this our prayer. Answer, we pray, for thy glory and for the blessing of those who hear. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.